So I will move on to one other story, which is quite different. So this is a patient who first palpated a mass back in July of 2019. And she had abnormal imaging on mammo and MRI. Locally, a right breast biopsy was performed, and it was really non-diagnostic with just necrotic material. And so she was taken directly to the OR locally for an excisional biopsy. And unfortunately, that pathology revealed a very large invasive ductal cancer, more than 5 centimeters in size, with positive margins, high-grade triple-negative breast cancer with a very high Ki-67. And no nodes were sampled at the time. It was just an excisional biopsy. So she presented to our institution in the fall and underwent excision of those margins and lymph node sampling, and ultimately was diagnosed with a T3N0 cancer. And this is a situation where, had we known in advance the extent of her disease, we would have preferentially treated her with neoadjuvant therapy for several reasons. But unfortunately, we were faced with having to come up with a treatment plan in the adjuvant setting. She was quite healthy. This is a woman in her early 50s. She has no significant past medical history, never smoker, germline BRCA wild type. And so in the fall, she began therapy with weekly paclitaxel, followed by dose-dense AC, and she received her final AC on March 17th, just as things were beginning to heat up in New York. So on March 30th, she had increasing anorexia and had spiked a fever at home and presented to our emergency room with neutropenic fever. She was otherwise hemodynamically stable. She had no respiratory symptoms at first, little bit of mucositis and a small transaminitis. And as per standard, she was pan-cultured, admitted to the hospital for IV antibiotics, and had an admission chest x-ray and COVID test. And what I'll show you here is her baseline AP chest x-ray, which showed this basilar opacity and also a positive COVID test on admission. So her course was really quite complicated. She was treated with broad spectrum antibiotics, growth factor because of her neutropenia, plenty of supportive medications for her mucositis, and over 24 to 48 hours developed progressive respiratory symptoms. At the time, in early April, there was question around the benefits of hydroxychloroquine. So she received a couple of days of dosing of hydroxychloroquine. And unfortunately, by April 3rd, she became increasingly hypoxic with 88% saturations on 4 liters nasal cannula. And as was the practice at the time, we really escalated critical care involvement well before patients required intubation for close monitoring, for prone positioning support. And so she was transferred to critical care well before needing intubation, but unfortunately, her respiratory status really declined. She was intubated. She underwent days of proning, which required additional support because that is quite difficult to tolerate. Her transaminitis rose. She developed acute kidney injury, profound deconditioning and weakness throughout all of this. She had received numerous courses of broad spectrum antibiotics. Obviously, infectious disease and infection control were helping to manage, as was respiratory. She had enoxaparin prophylaxis for DVT prophylaxis and really had maximal supportive care with our palliative care team and integrative medicine team involved to help support tolerating all of these therapies. Fortunately, after a prolonged critical care stay, she was extubated at the end of April. By April 25th, we had a convalescent plasma program at our institution, and she was able to receive convalescent plasma. She ultimately was transferred to a regular medicine floor, a COVID-positive floor, and continued to require really intense physical therapy and supportive care to regain strength. And a big challenge that we had was the inability to actually discharge patients to other inpatient acute rehab or nursing facilities in our region because the entire community was strained, unfortunately, with limited resources. And so she remained in the hospital for quite some time, but was able to ultimately be discharged by early May. And I'm happy to say by the end of June, she began her adjuvant radiation therapy and has been tolerating that well. And you can see a follow-up chest x-ray there on the right that looks significantly improved. But this was really just a devastating experience and course and complicated course on the heels of receiving curative therapy for a very high-risk early-stage breast cancer. And these are challenges that we were all responding to and require multidisciplinary input. I think that's the greatest take-home message, is involving many, many caregivers to help through this course and to stay abreast of the latest data that is evolving around COVID. And I would also encourage being aware of what clinical trials are going on near you. You know, our critical care team has stood up several clinical trials to help answer important questions around the management of COVID in our patient population. And so I think we sort of have a duty to help create that evidence that will help to treat our patients in the coming months. I'll stop there. I know we covered a lot of material. Happy to chat about any questions that you may have.